This is the octave day of the Holy Innocents, his first Friday of January. A week ago, we celebrated the feast itself, but in purple vestments. It's such a sad occasion. The first time it comes around, it's done in purple, the sad of sympathy to the mothers. Imagine how they would have felt to hear the sound of the soldiers, the hooves of the horses riding towards Bethlehem furiously, and then all the little boy babies being rooted out of their cradles, their mother's embrace, and cruelly put to death. St. Augustine explains it, he says, Veritas odium parat. Truth gives birth to hatred. And so on the very birthday of truth, we remember as well the immense cruelty that hatred always engenders. But at the same time, the Feast of the Holy Innocents each year reminds us that beneath the veneer of sentimental feeling. You know, a lot of people feel pretty good about Christmas, and they'll come to church at Christmas, and they have nice, sort of warm religious feelings about Christmas. But then when it's over, it's over. Those are just feelings. Beneath that is the reality. And what's the reality? That the baby is born to die for us to be the victim of our sins. Only this child is the Son of God. And he is not only the victim to be offered in holocaust to God, he is also the priest. And at Calvary, with Our Lady at his side, that will be accomplished. But today, they say, the saints say, today you have the innocent little children, the little lambs, dying to protect the Lamb of God, so he can safely make his escape in the sure arms of Saint Joseph and Our Lady, down into Egypt. And there they had to remain for some 3 years in terrible conditions of poverty. Our Lady, says the mystic Mary Magdalene, Our Lady took in sewing work in order to support the Holy Family. And St. Joseph was disappointed at the beginning. He had a hard time to find a job because, of course, he was a foreigner. He didn't speak the language. It was a very difficult trial for them. But as usual, it was all accomplished in quiet and in patience, and in love. The Holy Innocents. Do you know the word innocent? Innocence comes, as so many of our words, from the Latin. It means innocent, which is not harming, just as a baby would never harm a single soul. St. Alphonsus says that God chose to come down to earth as a baby because everybody loves a baby. Or do they, I was thinking, or do they? Consider what a difficult world it was to be a baby back then, at the time of our Lord, because the Romans had the appalling practice of not only abortion, but infanticide, the killing of babies, and then the exposure of children. If a child wasn't wanted, they would just sort of put him out on the street corner as you would an old sofa. And if anyone wanted the baby, they could take it. And if the father, the Roman pagan father, the paterfamilias, so decreed, then the child would just be put to death, and there'd be no crime involved at all. Pretty much what, in some sense, is still being done today. It was hard to survive. It's hard to be a baby back then, as it is today. Some people will cite the statistics that saying that, well, abortions are going down in America. It's true that the abortion clinics are less than they were maybe 15, 20 years ago. But the reality of that, I think, is that so many have been aborted already that those who would be aborting now have already been aborted. It's a sad thing. Sometimes sin extinguishes sin. The fire of hatred burns out some other sin. So, for example, I think less people today, if I'm not mistaken, are taking the holy name of Jesus in vain than they would have 30, 40 years ago. Why is that? Because so many people today do not know the holy name of Jesus at all. They've never heard them. They didn't know what the word means, and it wouldn't be part of their consciousness or their vocabulary. So these sins tend to consume each other, even as the love and the glory of God in countless souls are consumed in them still today. But innocence, the innocence of the holy child. Did you ever think of the innocence of the wise men? They were innocent. They were wise men. They were wise. They were probably Zoroastrian priests and someplace between being an astrologer and astronomer. They studied the heavens. And they had an interior, even though they were pagan priests, they had an interior intuition or voice from God that sent them and imagined that the depth of their faith and sacrifice, what that would entail, months and months of travel across the sands of Iran and Iraq to get to Palestine. And the organization of camels and dromedaries and slaves and food and gifts for the newborn king. But they knew from the signs in the sky that there was a newborn king, and they wanted to find him. That was their one desire, to find him. And in their innocence, they spill the beans. They go to see wretched old King Herod. He wasn't even a Jew, he was an Idumean. And he tried to curry favor with the Jews by building a very beautiful temple, which he did. And he wanted at the same time to curry favor with the pagan Romans. And he was insanely jealous, as dictators often are, of anyone who presented the least threat to his secure hold on power. So in their innocence, the three kings think, well, Jerusalem, that's where the temple is, that's where the king is. He'll let us know about this new king. And crafty old Fox Herod, he pretends to go along, even though he doesn't know anything about it. And the priests don't know anything about it either, because the knowledge of the law had perished from the priests of Jerusalem, either because they were Sadducees, and they were all just about sort of money and politics and certain traditions. They didn't believe even in eternal life. Or they were the Pharisees, who were busy starting the new religion, which our Lord spurned and condemned so strongly. And that's the religion that eventually became modern-day Judaism. And in the meantime, the Messiah, the promised one, was forgotten. And so they had to get out the dusty scrolls and study them until finally somebody said, ah, yes, that's right. That's in Isaiah, and it's Bethlehem. You want to go to Bethlehem. And then Herod gets them to promise to let him know where the baby is when they find him. And they do that in their innocence, their utter innocence. Because of that, the children die. The world is always craftily taking advantage of somebody's innocence in order to promote their own agenda. More than that, the world not only takes advantage, the world, most of all, earnestly desires to take the innocence of children. That's why the educational system today and the whole of the entertainment system today is all based on stealing the soul, innocent, sweet little souls of children. They can't take their life in the womb before they're born. Why, then they'll take their souls afterwards. And that's the reality. We should frequently invoke the Holy Innocents because we live the tragedy of the slaying of the innocent in our society, our tax dollars at work, you could very well and truly say. May the Holy Innocents intercede for us. But remember, the only way out of all of these problems is not to oppose this or that specific problem. The only way out of all of these problems is a true restoration for my soul, my family, in my chapel or church, in my extended family, with my friends. The restoration of innocence with all that it means, not even to know sin and not to want to know it either. Our Lord is innocent and he desires that we should be, but then he would say, alas, Father, I lost my innocence a long time ago. I can work to preserve the innocence of the little ones, and there's probably some room for improvement in my life and speech and conduct. But for myself, what is the teaching of the church? That by means of penance, that innocence which is lost can be restored to us. That's one of the goals of our Lent each year. Later Lent this year, But if we live the Fatima message, tomorrow's First Saturday, why, there will always be an occasion for penance. And penance has a way of rebuilding the innocence of a soul, even though it could have been lost in the most shocking or scandalous circumstances in the past. Never mind. You see, this is a beautiful and a most timely devotion. We pray to the Holy Innocents for the end of abortion, of course. We should pray to the Holy Innocents as well to foster and protect the innocence of our children. And lastly, to inspire us to serve Christ our King by the restoration of our own innocence, not by, the colic says so beautifully, non loquendo sed moriendo, not by speaking, because words are cheap, but by dying to self and sin and this wicked old world of ours and its prince the devil each day. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.